The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism. So the last days of this retreat, we've been looking into the Lojong practices, and primarily point one, point two, and point two. Point one being resolving to begin and the preliminary practices that set our heart minds towards awakening. And then the two versions of point two, absolute compassion, as Norman Fisher calls it, and relative compassion, or absolute bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta. So these three set the stage for what comes next, which is part three, point three. And the commentators, including Norman Fisher on this part, encourage us to see this next section as the way that we actualize practice in our daily lives, which is a very important part of our practice here and throughout our teachings, the non-separation of the kind of practice we do and we're seated upright and unmoving, and the actualization of that as we get up and move into our lives and learn how to serve the world. So there is a logical progression from setting our intention to understanding the way that the absolute and the relative interact, the way emptiness and form interact. And the practice of Tonglen is introduced in the relative part of point two, because that's also a way that the understanding of the absolute gets actualized. So the absolute is, just to review, thusness. Shunyata, everything is as it is. There's no problem with anything because everything is an expression of the Buddha nature. And we need to know that before we can do anything. Because if we just do from the point of view of doing, from fixing, without grounding in shunyata, then it becomes an empty kind of activity. Not empty in the positive sense, but a meaningless activity. An activity that isn't rooted in practice, but is rooted in ideas of doing good. So we all have ideas of what it means to do good. And we divide the world into good and evil. And in the third section, we actually talk about good and evil. The 15th slogan begins, do good and avoid evil, which are also two of the parts of our precepts in Zen, practicing good and avoiding evil. So in that kind of orientation, we do divide the world into good and evil, but we have to look at this from the subtler point of view of resting in the absolute. In the absolute, there are things that even although everything is it, some of the things that are it seem to cause more suffering, and some of the things that are it seem to promote well-being for people and other beings. So this is an interesting instruction that we receive, nested in the middle of all of this. Shunyata, there is activity, and some activity is useful, and some of it is harmful. So in order to differentiate between usefulness and harmfulness, we have to know what the ground of being is. And so we discover the ground of being through the absolute practices of absolute bodhicitta, absolute energy for awakening. And then, relatively speaking, then we go into all the different ways we might actualize our bodhisattva natures, our wisdom being natures, And this is not something that you can find in a rule book, even though sometimes people approach the Lojong practices as a rule book, because after all, there's 59 slogans, so if I make it from 1 to 59, I should be all set once I've reached 59. And really, all the teachers who make commentaries on these practices say that they're not really in order. Just like people who teach koans say the koans really don't go in any order. They seem to go in a cyclical fashion. So we learn something and we learn something deeper and we learn something deeper. And then we get turned around, everything changes, and everything we thought we knew has to be thrown or at least set gently aside. And then we learn something new about the upside-down world. It's like someone keeps handing us different glasses colored with different shades. And when we look out at the world through the blue lens, we think we know what the world is like. And then somebody gives us a red lens and we think, oh, I was wrong. That's not what the world is like. It looks like this. And then different colors. And then ultimately, we go back to the absolute again and again, where there are no lenses. There's just this. Everything is as it is. So part point three is called transform bad circumstances into the path. And the translation that Chögyam Trungpa uses, which Norman Fisher is adapting, is a little bit more pointed and a little bit more Buddhist. He says this, and I love the beginning of it because I really think that the way things are these days, it's helpful to have this particular view affirmed. Things are just not all hunky-dory. That's a Buddhist term if you're not familiar with it. When the world is filled with evil, that's how Chögyam Trungpa starts it. Norman Fisher calls it just bad circumstances. But when the world is filled with evil. And isn't it filled with evil? Isn't there suffering going on that is made by humans moment after moment all over the planet right now? I mean, we could make a long list and it wouldn't ever encompass all of it. Evil in the sense of turning away from kindness, we might say, a turning away from the principles of recognition that we're all one body. The division that fills the world. You can't declare war on another country unless you think that you and the people in the other country are somehow fundamentally different. And that, for me, is the source of evil. Looking at another person and saying, they are not like me, and I'm better. That's the other trap we get into. I'm much better. We have precepts that warn us against this, but the mind just keeps doing it. Self-justification all the time. This is where evil arises. And it's something that we can't prevent exactly, but we can be alert to. So this slogan, which is number 11, says, when the world is filled with evil, transform all mishaps into the path of Bodhi. Everything we encounter that looks wrong, everything that looks evil, that looks bad, all this negativity that we want to run away from or fight or fix or all the different strategies we've decided are going to make the world a better place. Instead, this set of slogans says, don't do that. See what's happening right now as the fertile ground for awakening, for Bodhi. Bodhi is a word, it has the same root as Buddha, that means in Sanskrit, awake. So this awakened path, the Bodhi path, we say, or the path of the Buddha, the awakened nature. Can we truly transform everything that we encounter into the path of awakening? And this is not just some simplistic positive affirmation style, just turn lemons into lemonade kind of thing. Just a spoonful of sugar and all that. It's a fundamental recognition that everything that we encounter is the awakened heart. And if that's true, even evil is, even things that we deplore, people doing all kinds of crazy things that do harm and hurt people and make us go ouch or worse. This kind of recognition is so important. It always reminds me of one of my favorite koans. I won't tell you the whole thing, but basically a student is puzzled about some deep philosophical concept that he just can't figure out. And he goes to the teacher and says, so I have this really important thing that I need you to explain about the teachings of our ancestors. Can you do it? And the teacher says, I have a headache. Now, what the student doesn't know is that the teacher just answered him according to the same teaching that we're encountering here in this slogan. The headache is the answer to any philosophical question because it is what is actually arising in this moment. Maybe we say it's bad to have a headache, and most of us do, but what if it is just having a headache? And it is a full expression of the Buddha Dharma, of the teachings of the Buddha, as headache. What if the terrible things that governments do and the wars that happen, what if they too are the expressions of the Dharma as evil, as conflict, as cruelty? This is a very, very challenging teaching. This is not something that you can figure out through your own logical mind. But it is possible to embrace it if you've been working with the other slogans, setting your intention, recognizing the preciousness of human life and the inevitability of death and the luck of being born human so that we can realize these things, recognizing shunyata as encompassing everything and that there actually is something to be done, meeting directly the moment and whatever is arising in it. Only then can we understand how evil itself is something that can transform into awakening because it already is the awakened nature. In that story, the poor student goes around and asks a couple of other people the same question, you know, this very important philosophical question that he has. And the second teacher, the second student rather, senior student who encounters this junior student also says something that is almost identical to the first teacher. He says, I'm tired today and I can't answer your question. So again, what if tiredness was everything and the perfect ground for awakening? Well, that's lucky for people on retreats who are sleep deprived and who find ourselves nodding off. Right? What if tiredness was not a problem? What if even evil was not a problem, but simply a condition to be met full on? And the last senior student that the poor hapless guy finds to go to talk to says, I don't know the answer to that question, which, man, is one of the best answers ever. Right? Honest. So I have a headache. I'm tired. I don't know. We think, boy, Zen teachers, Zen masters, they're not supposed to say things like that. They're supposed to say, let me help you with that question. Let me find a way to relieve your suffering. But actually, everything that every one of us does is the answer to the question we've been longing to hear the answer to. It already is apparent. It's already like this. But we don't see it because we're the ones who are caught in I wish things could be better, going all the way back to the first noble truth. Remember, as David said earlier today, it's not an inconvenient truth. It's a noble truth that life is suffering, that we always want things to be different. Now, I don't want to minimize suffering because suffering sucks big time. I don't like it. I don't like it when my friends get sick. I don't like it when I get sick. I don't like it when people suffer. And when wars happen and when disasters arise in the world, I don't like it at all. And there's always an and here. And this is what's happening. When we try to fight reality, reality always wins. Never the other way around. And if you don't believe me, just try it. Try to fight the way things are. It doesn't mean that you can't look at the way things are and see a little opening for some solace and peace. Because you know what? If you have a headache, there's all these great medications that have been developed through the centuries that will help to relieve your headache. But you have to take them. And you have to realize that before the headache goes away, you still have a headache. Your action of taking a medication is all wrapped up in having a headache. Everything is like this. We say medicine and sickness cure each other, heal each other. You need both sides. Conflict and reconciliation heal each other. Everything is like this. The dark and the light, the good and the bad, they're just two sides of the same coin, as somebody said the other day. This is just how it is. It's not different than it is, and in a moment, in a heartbeat, in a hair's breadth, it will be different. This is what happens when we sit still in the middle of everything. This is what we learn about all of our own conditions, the conditions of others, the conditions of our own mind and heart and body. Things do not stay the same, even though our mind is in love with the idea that things stay the same. Because it's kind of helpful to think, oh, this is never going to end on some level because it's familiar. I know what's going to happen next. I know this is much better than saying, I have no idea what's going to happen next. Maybe my suffering's going to get worse. Maybe it's going to get better. I don't know. But if we bow to the mind that says, nope, nope, everything is just going to remain awful forever, oh, that's just not true either. So I hope you can taste a little bit of the quandary that this part of the Lojong practices puts us in. When the world is filled with evil, transform all mishaps into the path of Bodhi. And I would say, allow everything to transform. I'm just going to read you the next couple to end. I won't comment on them yet. We'll have more days to comment on them. But just so you can taste this, transform bad circumstances into the path, transform all evil into Bodhi. So turn all mishaps into the path. Drive all blames into one, which just means to take responsibility for what's happening. Be grateful to everyone. There it is again, the turn. Be grateful. How can you be grateful to everyone? Some people are idiots. We'll go into that in another talk. See confusion as Buddha. See confusion as Buddha? Are you kidding me? Yes. I mean, no. And practice emptiness. Do good. Avoid evil. Appreciate your lunacy. Pray for help. And last, whatever you meet is the path. And this is the real bottom line teaching of this little set of slogans. Whatever you meet is the path. Even not meeting is the path.